The journey is conversations with ordinary people about stories of transformation and how we may have had setbacks in our life and how we persevered through those, how we've learned from those obstacles, and how they've, you know, maybe helped us on our path today. Well, welcome to The Journey. My name is Kevin Polke, and I am the host of The Journey. And today we are going to do a reflection on some of the work that I've been just recently doing within the schools that I've been working at. And as we talk about that, I wanted to share a little bit about where some of this all came from. So recently, probably the last 12 months or so, I have started off the majority of my talks working with students or working with educators, working with nonprofits, and started with a particular theme or particular story. And the idea of that theme is something that I want to share with you guys. The idea behind it is inviting you into a possibility. What if I told you that when you were created, I want you to imagine that famous Leonardo da Vinci painting in the Sistine Chapel, where two fingers are coming together, and right before they touch, there's this appears, at least to me, an energy that is formed. And if you imagine that space and time metaphorically being at the time when your biological parents conceived you, that when you were created at that point of conception, there was something that was placed within you. It's not something that you could have possibly done to earn it, or anything that you deserve because of your actions or the works that you do, but it was a gift that was placed within you. And then within that gift, within that thing that's been placed within you, has all the potential of who you were created to be and who you are going to be if you follow your path. This idea that metaphorically this thing that was placed within you may very well be seen as a light. Or maybe it is, you associate it with energy or associate with love or hope. For some of us, it may very well be tied into our faith practiced. So for me, it may very well most closely resemble God placing that light or energy or my potential at that point of creation. For this discussion, it doesn't really matter for me what you associate it with. It matters more to me that you recognize that no matter what you do, no matter what happens to you, what doesn't happen to you, what you do or what you don't do, what others do or what the circumstances are, there's no way for that light to be extinguished. There's no way for that light to go out. Now, true, there may be things that happen that block the brightness of that light. And those could be considered the different things that happen to us, different traumatic events that happen, the stories that we tell ourselves as a result of those things. Those could all possibly be a result of that. But the thing that's most important, and I definitely want the students that I'm working with to know that there's nothing that they could do or nothing that could happen to make that light go out. And if that's possible, we talk about this idea that what if there's no such thing as cold. Rather, there is just an absence of heat. And if that's true, maybe there's no such thing as darkness, just an absence of light. I've spoken numerous times before in the past about this idea that we all live on this continuum, and that to the far, far left represents love, hope, and joy. And then to the far, far right represents this darkness, this absence of light, this eclipse of any light. And there is there this sense of hopelessness and despair. And when someone's there too long, the darkness lies to them and says that maybe life would be better if you weren't living. That in spite of propaganda in the media and social media, that we're not supposed to, like, the end goal isn't to be on the far left of the continuum. Equally, that we're not supposed to be continuously on the far right in the darkness either. That life is about navigating up and down this continuum, of that when things happen throughout the day, that we may find ourselves over on the darker side of the continuum, either in a state of sad or feeling down or depressed or a sense of hopelessness. That even if we have some pretty traumatic or difficult things that we're experiencing or being overwhelmed by, this sense of considering maybe my life would be better if it was different, or I wasn't here anymore, which we refer to as death ideation, or when we take or start considering taking matters into our own hands as we get farther and farther down that continuum of taking our own life. This idea of being able to navigate up and down, first to be able to identify what am I experiencing, what are the feelings that I'm having, and then also recognizing that I have the ability with self-care, with resources of outside individuals to be able to move to the left of the continuum. And that when we find ourselves over more in the light and being able to look at things differently, that life is still going to be difficult at times, and then we may find ourselves back over on the right end of the continuum. This up and down moving of the continuum is what we consider life, and that is why I do talks. How do we, even though we may not be able to control all the stressors in our life, we do have the responsibility to manage our stress level. That if we work at developing resilience and helping develop resilience in others, that when the darkness comes as a result of setbacks or obstacles or trauma, that we can recognize that that is maybe an event or a time period, but it is not my total existence. This idea of that this light that is within us being our potential, being that space where something greater than ourselves can work through us to be able to be a helping hand for someone else who's struggling. This is really what we refer to as being that vessel, as parents, as counselors, as educators, as individuals that are attempting to be there in the helping profession or in any profession, of how can we be able to connect with others so that they can be seen and be heard, and that they have something, some type of other light for hope when they feel that darkness of being on the far right side of the continuum. So when I created Shatter Our Silence in 2016 as a result of three deaths that happened, three suicides that happened at Rockford Christian in a matter of 3 years, we talked about the idea of how can we help individuals be educated and aware to help their peers and then have resources to go to? That continually we talk about how can we be But through a matter of our own self-care, through us managing our own stress and developing resilience in our own life, how can we be a light in others' darkness is essentially where that came from. And then part two of doing the workshops around mental health and social emotional learning was the second part of developing resilience and managing stress. And then the third part, or the third series of workshops, was how do we find a sense of hope in the midst of hopelessness? That this idea of these themes of that we are all created with this light within us, and that we all have the potential to be able to shine brightly and live out a life and live in a life that we were destined to be when that seed was planted, when that light was planted within us. Now, is it going to come without any type of effort or work? Absolutely not. We have to seek out assistance to learn about that. We have to be around other individuals that could help us develop and grow. The idea behind connecting with others and being available to help where needed, and then being able to have a time period of solitude so that we can get replenished, and that our light can get replenished. Now, how does our light get replenished? It's really about moving away the things that are cloaking it, or shading it, or eclipsing it. So it's the light itself is always going to be that brightest of bright lights. It's really making sure that we get out of the way and get our thinking, the stories that we tell ourselves about stuff that's happened in the past, or our projections about things that happen into the future. So when you hear the phrase, be a light, and for me, I always capitalize the L to emphasize that this is a spiritual practice. Be the light in others' darkness is first and foremost remembering that light is within us, and being in conscious contact, for me, that's God, so that I can then be available and be a resource to others. As always, this was originally all around the idea of shatter our silence and being able to develop tools and material and educational programming to be able to help young people, young adults, as well as the significant others that that are with them, so that we will not have to go to another premature funeral. As always, I appreciate you being here and sharing this with anybody that you think might benefit from it, and know that within each and every one of you, you were created with that light, and that regardless of what has happened in your life or what you may be going through right now, that light is still there. We just have to take care of the things that are cloaking it and eclipsing it. Again, thank you for being here, and I look forward to being with you next week.